Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
You know, as we think in regard to life, I find it that many people stumble their way through the course of life. In that I mean that it appears to me that they do not understand, nor do they know the purpose for life and the plan for life. They do not understand where it is that man came from. In all of that, they do not realize where it is that mankind is going. These souls lack this understanding, this knowledge, because of the fact that they do not know, nor do they understand our God's Word. The Bible is indeed God's inspired message to mankind. It is how God seeks to communicate to and with men to help us to understand not only who we are, but also in like figure who He is. God identifies with mankind concerning His will, what it is that He wants man to know and the path that He wants man to walk throughout the course of our life here. In all of this, good people, when we think in regard to the Bible, there are certainly things that we need to know, and the Bible tells us where we are from. The world offers us an explanation, but yet at the same time we realize that that is a theory that has been developed by mankind. But the Bible very clearly reveals to us that God is eternal and that our God in His eternal existence has created mankind after His image. God is responsible for the creation of man, and all things that we find in this material universe and exterior even to the earth itself was indeed created by our God. So God is the one who identifies to us where we're from, but also God tells us where we are now. For those who are outside of the body of Christ, the Bible identifies for us and tells us in very clear terms that mankind sins against Him. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Those who have sinned and have not had those sins forgiven in Christ, the Bible very clearly reveals to us that they are lost. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." But He identifies also not only where people are in sin, but He reveals to us what it is that God offers us in Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life. And for those who are baptized, for those who are members of the Lord's church and seeking to live our life faithful to God, God calls upon us to be a light to the world, to shine within our individual lives so that people might understand our God and so that humanity might be drawn unto God. God tells us through His inspired Word where we are at this present time, but God also tells us where we are going. Good people, life upon this earth is not going to last forever. It is not meant to last forever. In fact, we understand from the Hebrews writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. Death is an appointment that each and every one of us will keep. And the Bible tells us that whenever we face that appointment, whenever we die, whenever we pass from this life, that life does not stop at that point. We understand, according to what is taught in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 and following, that there is indeed a separation. Also, though, in that separation, we learn through the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, that there is a time to live and a time to die. And we also realize in the context of what the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes shares with us, that the body returns to the ground from whence it came, but the spirit returns back unto our God. Whenever mankind dies, we are carried, we are delivered into the eternal realm. We are taken into the Hadean world, where there is paradise and where there is a place of torment. To await what? To await the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And good people, at that time, the Bible identifies for us that every knee will bow before God and every tongue will confess. But yet, at that time, it will be too late for those who had not accomplished that during the time in which we have here. And God tells us that those who are not in Christ, that they will be eternally lost. The Bible very clearly tells us where we are going. And God wants all of humanity to go to heaven. And therefore, it must not surprise us that the Bible tells us how we can get to heaven. Jesus Christ is heaven's plan. Jesus Christ is
God's only answer for the sin that we commit in our life. In fact, in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." If you and I want our sins forgiven, we must turn to Christ. We must understand the teachings of Christ. We must do all that we can to emulate the life of Christ. We must be obedient to the gospel of Christ. And then to do all that we can in living our lives in accordance to the will of God. And good people, whatever we do, the Bible identifies for us that we can go through this life with assurance. Why? Because we are a child of the King. Because we belong to God. Because we are one of His children. We can have the same confidence that the Apostle Paul had whenever he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says that he had lived his life faithful to God, and for that reason, God, who is faithful, was going to give him a crown of righteousness. And good people, what a blessing that is to know as Christians. Amen. But you know, when we think in regard to the way in which people go throughout the course of this life, we find is that sometimes people go through life trying to hide from God. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, that Adam knew God's commandments. God had created Adam and Eve according to His image, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God had also not only created this man and this woman and joined them together as husband and wife, but God created an oasis, the Garden of Eden, that He placed them in, having a relationship with this couple and wanting so much for them to understand His will and to walk faithfully before Him. But God also laid forth a stipulation upon them. He says that of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But He says that of the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Good people, Adam knew very clearly. It is very obvious that he understood exactly God's commandment concerning what it was that he could do and what he could not do. And in all of this, what do we see Adam doing? He violated the direction of God. Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil first, and then she hands it to Adam and he partakes. He violated. He ignored. He turned away from the commandment that God had laid down for him. And good people, as a result of that, then the Bible tells us that he had sinned against our God. And with recognition or realization of this sin, then he seeks to cover that sin. In all of this, then he and Eve makes for themselves a covering to people that was insufficient. Why? Because whenever mankind sins against God, we are not able to cover our sins. It takes something that God is only able to do and to offer. And therefore, we must comply with whatever it is that God requires of us in order to have our sins covered in Jesus Christ our Lord. But in all of this, not only do we find is that they tried to make a covering, in like figure, we understand that they went into a blame game. Adam says, "It's the woman whom you gave me. Eve, it's the man that you gave me." Good people, there's no covering for sin. In all the Bible identifies for us is that Adam tried to hide from God. And there's no hiding from God. Whenever mankind sins against God, God is fully aware of what has and is taking place. We live in a world today where so many try, and it's as if they think that they're able to hide their sins from our God. But good people, the Bible very clearly declares that God sees and knows everything that takes place under the sun. David realized this. And in understanding this, David states in regard to what it is that God sees concerning him, and he says that God sees his every move. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, declares very clearly that God not only knew him whenever he lived upon the face of the earth, but in like figure, whenever he was in the mother's womb, before he was brought forth into the world. And Job realized this same thing. And good people, if God is able to know us even before we are born, our God is able to see the things that we do here in this world. All things are naked or revealed in the sight of our God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. In that then, God wants mankind to realize that someday we will stand before Him in judgment. While Adam and also Eve sought to hide from God, they were not able to. God brought forth their sin into judgment. And if you and I think that we're able to hide, to conceal our sin And I will say some people are very good at that, to the point to where they're not able to be caught in their sin while they're here. We can rest assured that that day will come where that everything will be revealed. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the saints at Rome, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, says that in that day God will judge the secrets of man according to my gospel, according to the gospel of Christ. In that day, every soul, as they stand before our God, they will confess not only our God, they will identify on a very personal level in relation to the life that they have lived here, the good as well as the evil. And good people, in all of that, God wants man to understand that not only does He identify in the Bible what sin is for our sake, that God also sees the life that we live here. And that He wants us to understand that no matter how much we think that we can never hide our sins nor ourselves from Him. Today, are you hiding yourself from God? Or maybe are you rejecting our God, is what we find concerning the rich young ruler. The Bible identifies concerning this man in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, that this man had an interest in God. He wanted to know in regard to eternal life. And I find it very important to point out that this man realized that eternal life was connected with Jesus. Why did he understand that, good people? Because fame of Christ had gone out throughout the land. The things that Jesus had been teaching and the wonderful works that Jesus had performed. The people of that day certainly was coming to an understanding of that Jesus was much more than just your typical man. And this man wanted to know what it was that he could do in order to have eternal life. And Jesus tells him, He says, you go and sell everything that you have. He says, you go and in selling these things and turning it into monetary gain, He says, you don't go and you stick it in a bank, but He says, whenever you sell it, then you go and you meet needs. You find those who are poor. And He says that you invest in those individuals. And how did this man respond? Good people, the Bible tells us that this man was extremely wealthy. I mean, whenever we look in regard to this modern age, this man had a mansion. This man would have had anything that he would have possibly wanted. And can you imagine the draw in regard to the things that Jesus has said? Can you imagine the response here? His wheels are turning, not about what eternal life is about, but now His wheels are turning. What do you mean, go and sell everything that I have? And what does he do? The Bible tells us that he departed from God. Oh, he's sorrowful. But what is it that he's sorrowful for? He's sorry not because of his sin, but rather he's sorrowful to the fact that it means that he was going to have to sacrifice in order to follow Christ. In our day and age, many people seem to be interested in God, but yet at the same time, they're not willing to follow through with the commandments that He lays down for us. Does God want us to go and to sell everything that we have and to give it to the poor? Good people, that's not in the context even of what's going on. What Jesus is wanting this man to understand, and not only this man, mankind today to realize, is that God must be number one. And that no matter what it is that we give up in this life, we need to trust in God. And God is going to be there for us to take care of us as we go throughout the course of life. We are not to be anxious for anything, not to worry about the cares and the concerns or even the provisions of this world. Why? Because we serve a God who can and who will always be there for us. Man should not trust in life, but rather man must trust in God. God expects us to. God commands us to. God wants us not only to learn of Him, but God wants man to lean upon Him. And today, where are you in relation to the commandments of God to obey Him and to follow Him? Are you like this man who rejected Christ? But also we learn concerning the Laodiceans. These people, if you look at the context of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14,
In fact, you can look and consider the entire context. They were very religious in an appearance sake. In that, I contend that they were members of the Lord's church, meaning that they had been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We have a congregation of brothers and sisters in Christ who not only believed in God and had been obedient to the gospel, they were assembling themselves together for the purpose of worshiping and praising our God. In this, they would have understood then that they were to be a light to God, that they were to be a light for the people round and about them, that they would have realized that they were more than just a congregation and that they were not to be introverts, but rather that they were to be extroverts, that they were to launch out, and in launching out, not only collectively, individually, now they had a responsibility to the community of which they lived in to identify through the course of their life that they were truly children of God. But yet at the same time, the context reveals unto us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16 that they were half-hearted Christians. How so? Because John, by way of revelation, reveals unto these individuals that they were lukewarm. God says that because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. What is it that God says in regard to lukewarm Christianity? He says that it makes Him sick. God wants us so much to follow Him. But yet at the same time, if we're not going to follow Him, God wants us to be real about it. He wants us to understand that we can't have a foot in the world and yet at the same time have a foot in Christianity. Why? Because they don't mix. We're either all or none. That's what God says. We're either in it or we're out of it. And in all of this, God rejected the Laodiceans. Why?
Because in reality, because of their lukewarmness, they were not truly following God. Good people, we live in a world today where sometimes Christians can identify with this lukewarm attitude. They've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Therefore, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a point in time where they truly believed in God. Why do I say that? Because I want to truly believe that whenever people put Christ on baptism and the confessions that I take anyway, I truly believe that they know what it is that they're getting ready to do. If not, I wouldn't baptize them. And therefore, whenever they're baptized, they are sold on serving the Lord. And whenever they're sold on serving the Lord, then we find is that they are in attendance. And not only are they in attendance whenever the church assembles together, now as we consider the aspects of their life, we begin to see that they're serving God. But yet at the same time, we understand that from time to time, they walk away from God. They're no longer in attendance. In all of that, their life is no longer about God. Well, what's their life about? Good people, their life is about serving the world. Their life is about the I, me, my thing. It's about making themselves happy or maybe making somebody else happy. But yet at the same time, it's interesting in regard to these people is that they're like the Laodiceans to the point to where they'll claim to be a member of the church. They'll claim to be faithful to God. And sometimes they're even in the attendance. But yet at the same time, their life is not characteristic of what it means to be a Christian. During these times, the Bible identifies for us is that these people are like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through the end of the chapter, whom God identifies as hypocrites. But what's a hypocrite, you say? A hypocrite is one who will say one thing and then do another. And good people, God does not want us to say one thing and do something else. He wants us to commit to being a Christian. And God tells us very clearly in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, that if we are living a lukewarm lifestyle, if we are not truly committed to Him, if we're saying we're Christian, but yet we're living like the world, there'll be a division even within the church whenever we stand before Him. He will separate the sheep from the goat. The sheep is representative of those who are faithful to God. The goats are those who claim to be a Christian, but yet at the same time, they weren't walking the walk, talking the talk.
lukewarm Christianity is not accepted in the Bible.
And good people, we cannot go through life thinking that we will somehow slip through the cracks whenever we stand before God. I want to encourage us all to be like the Apostle Paul, who glorified God. We see that this man put Christ on in baptism. He was one who persecuted the church. He was one that, good people, in all sense of purpose, we would look at him and say, man, this man was contrary in multiple ways to the doctrine of Christ. He was one who certainly opposed our God, but yet at the same time, whenever it is revealed unto him his sin, this man realized the seriousness of what it means to be a Christian, and based out of what it is that Ananias taught him there in Damascus, he puts Christ on in baptism to have his sins washed away. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. As a result of that, he committed his life to God, but yet at the same time, the Bible reveals to us that he faced the challenges of life. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he questioned God, even regarding that thorn in the flesh. God, why? That's paraphrased. But isn't that what he's saying? God, why do I have to deal with this? But yet at the same time, he didn't allow that to get him down. He continued on, realizing that, you know, this thorn in the flesh, it's probably a blessing from God. And therefore, he glorified God even with that thorn in the flesh. And the things that he went through, the struggles that he faced in life, good people, he did not allow those things to beat him down, but instead, he labored both day and night. Every opportunity that he had, he was working for our God. Every time that he met somebody, he was proclaiming the will of Christ. Every contact that he had, he wanted these people to understand that he had a relationship with our God, that he was indeed a child of God.
Even to the point to where he died. He died as a Christian. He died fighting for and standing for the cause of Christ. And because of that, then, Paul received the crown. Oh, it wasn't a crown that was placed upon him here. It was a crown that only our God gives in the end to those who are faithful to Him. Those who give their life to the point of glorifying His name. Today, where are you? There are only four possibilities. You may be innocent and unaccountable before God. You say, Kevin, tell me more. Maybe I'm in that category, criteria. If you are a youth, if you are a child, there is a point, not an age, but there is a point wherein that you are innocent in the sight of God. You are not accountable to God for sin. And for that reason, you're safe with God. You do not need to be saved because you are safe with God. On the other hand, there are those that are lost outside of Christ who think that they are okay, but yet at the same time, they are not. And you say, Kevin, who is that? Those are people who are in other religions outside of the Lord's church. These are people who are caught up in denominations. These are individuals who are caught up in world religions. Anything outside of the true church. And you say, Kevin, why would you say that they're lost? Because Jesus Christ Himself said that these people are lost. They draw near to God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. And Jesus says concerning these type of individuals in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that they will come to Him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name have we not done all these wonderful things? And Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. What does He say? Good people, He's not talking about members of the church who fell away in that context. He's talking about religionists who claim that they have a relationship with Him, but yet in reality they never did. Why do I say that? Because He said, I never knew you. They never had a relationship with Him. And for that reason, if you are amongst that number today, wake up please and read and study the Bible and not only understand it, apply the principles, the commandments of God.
of what it means to truly obey our God. But in like figure, you may be an erring member of the church.
Well, what do you mean, an erring member of the church? Let's identify. Somebody who has been baptized into Christ. Maybe they're still in attendance, but they're going out and living a hypocritical lifestyle. Even though that they're still attending, they're an erring member of the church. If their lifestyle is not in line with what it means to be a Christian, God identifies as that they're erring. And then therefore they would need to be restored to have the prayers of the church. But also, sometimes they're not in attendance. Sometimes they walk away from God and the church to the point to where they no longer assemble themselves together with us. But yet, at that same time, they come back, and because they're back, then they feel as if, okay, I'm back. I've recommitted myself to God, and that's great. We are so grateful whenever people come back like that, but yet at the same time, if they've walked away from God, in order to be back with God fully, they've got to repent. It means that they commit in their life that they're not going to walk away again. But it also means then that they realize that prayers must be offered by the congregation on their behalf because their sin has been publicly known. You may be an erring member of the church, but also you may be faithful in Christ. And if you're faithful in Christ, you know where you are and you know where you're going. Keep going there. But if you're in one of these other areas, understand, it's not God's will. God wants, and we want so much, for you to be a Christian. To be one of His children. To live as a child of the King. And to die to gain heaven as your eternal reward.